From the Financial Times in London, I'm Patrick Jenkins, the FT's financial editor, and this is FT News. Deutsche Börse is planning to merge with the London Stock Exchange, potentially creating an important bridge between the London and Frankfurt financial centres. I'm joined by Lee McCormack, a market infrastructure expert, and Laura Noonan, the FT's investment banking correspondent, to look at the implications for investment banks. Lee, thanks very much for joining us. We should say that as of Tuesday morning, there is a potential rival bid for the London Stock Exchange from America's Intercontinental Exchange. It's a kind of weird statement that they've put out, the kind of holding position. What do you see as coming from that, if anything?
I don't see that statement as any sort of surprise. The surprise to me that there's no one else sort of lining up yet, and I'm sure they are in the background. So you would also have the CME Group would be looking at this merger of equals, although I'd probably classify it as a takeover from Deutsche Börse and LSE clearly being the target. So you also have the other large players will be looking at this, NASDAQ and probably Hong Kong Exchange Group or SGX as well, and those guys in Asia. So this is far from a done deal, and I think there's going to be lots more twists and turns to come.
Just for the sake of argument, let's go with the idea that Deutsche Börse and LSE do consummate their plan. What does that mean for the big banks?
I think it depends on which department you're talking to. So maybe the retail or the cash equities kind of guys might see this potential for some efficiencies there and to drive down the cost of trading there. The other side of it, in the derivatives and the fixed income space, you might well see a little bit more reluctance around the deal and they'd like to see a little bit more information. Yes, there are capital efficiencies to be gained. Certainly in the statement that has been put out, they're talking about in derivatives, cross-margining between, for example, the Eurex deep liquidity in their financial futures products versus the swap clear product that LCH have, which is obviously part of the LSE group.
Yeah, maybe Laura can come in here because that's an increasingly important aspect, I suppose, of how investment banks run themselves. In the past, they might have had scant thought about the capital costs of those kinds of margin positions, but that's the all-important focus for most investment banks these days.
It is a very important focus, but it isn't the only one. So yes, if you would have the merger go through, it would be more efficient probably from the cost of the capital perspective. But there's also the cost to trade. And if you had a big merged entity, it would have very significant pricing power. And when you talk to banks, they seem pretty concerned that they would end up ultimately paying a higher overall cost. They seem to think that the big dominance and the big pricing power that the new enlarged group would have would actually cancel out the benefits of those capital efficiencies.
And Lee, do you think that concern is enough to make Brussels look so seriously at this that it blocks it?
I'm not so sure that Brussels will necessarily block it on those grounds. If you look at the failed merger between Deutsche Börse and NYSE, it wasn't blocked per se, but there were remediations put in there, the consequences of the deal, such that it made it less financially attractive to the board and the shareholders. So there could well be remedies put in place whereby LSE would have to sell the LCH, for example, or maybe slightly less harshly, they would have to ensure that they remained some sort of open access provider like they are now. Obviously, the two clearinghouses run different models at the moment.
Yeah, because Eurex operates this kind of vertical silo, so-called, yeah, which means they tie in people to their clearing settlement. Could that get undone?
Well, I think MiFID II is keeping an eye on that anyway, and eventually it will be undone.
That's the new incoming rules on asset management, securities trading, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think on the surface, that sounds slightly scary, obviously, because Deutsche Börse and Eurex have significant revenues from the trading of derivatives. But actually what it means, it just means that the clearinghouse becomes even more important. So maybe the split between the revenues shifts from the trading layer down to the clearing layer. And, you know, financially, there's probably less impact on Deutsche Börse as an overall group. So the splitting open of the clearinghouse is potentially less significant.
Okay. And a final word then, just to put you on the spot, do you think this deal is going to happen?
There is zero chance this deal will go through. And I'll tell you for why. It might sound, I think the rivals are lining up. I think there are hundreds of investment bankers, the other investment banks who have not been put onto this deal, who are going around and calling their clients. And actually, the smallest risk of this overall deal is the regulatory side of it. I think the commercials and other factors will make the deal change, at least.
Well, as you say, there's one other aspect where the banks benefit. It's in that advisory capacity. There's lots of investment banking work going on, I think, here. So thanks very much for your thoughts on that. We'll keep our listeners posted. If you enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy the FT's Banking Weekly. You can find this every Tuesday at ft.com/podcasts.
Sweet. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.